Poor St. Peter. He had been entrusted with so much, and yet on Holy Thursday evening, he fell, and he fell hard. But before we move on, we have to go back. So we think of how St. Peter was a fisherman along with his brother Andrew, James, and John on the Sea of Galilee. They encountered our Lord. Jesus said to them, "Go out and set out into the deep, casting your net." They had been at it all night but had caught nothing. But then, after doing what our Lord commanded, they had this huge, miraculous catch of fish. St. Peter knew that there was something special about Jesus, and he fell on his knees and he said, "Lord, leave me, for I'm a sinful man." Jesus said to him, "I will make you a fisher of men." And with that, he said, "Follow me." Peter did. Now, Peter, as time goes on, we know, in the gospel passage, is entrusted with a very special authority. At Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked the apostles, "Well, who do people say that I am?" And some said, "Well, a prophet, a rabbi, whatever." And then he said to them point blank, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus recognized that Peter's answer was a grace-inspired answer from his heavenly Father. So our Lord said to Peter, "Simon, you are Peter, you are a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So he made Peter that first pope and established that office of the Holy Father. Jesus said, "I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. So after my authority comes yours. I give you the authority of binding and loosing, so you're going to be the primary teacher, not only to preserve the gospel truth, but to teach it in every day and age." We could go on then, and we hear of how St. Peter, along with James and John, are invited to witness special events, like the Transfiguration, or the raising of Jairus' daughter to new life. So St. Peter truly had been given so much. At the Last Supper, our Lord announced that he was going to be arrested and condemned to death. He would die, but then would rise again. Peter says, "I will defend you, even if it means giving up my own life." Well, before we know it, Jesus is arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter waits outside Caiaphas, the high priest's home. He's warming himself by the charcoal fire. And he's asked three times, "Do you know the man?" Peter three times denied that he knew Jesus. He fell. The gospel reads that at that point the cock crowed. Jesus was being led out through the garden. His eyes caught those of St. Peter. St. Peter went off into the darkness weeping bitterly. Poor St. Peter. On Easter Sunday, though, when that tomb was empty, Peter knew there was hope. Hope of reconciliation. That somehow he too could rise again. And so he waited. Now granted, last week in our gospel we heard of how Jesus appeared to the apostles on Easter Sunday evening. And then a following week he appeared to them again when St. Thomas was present. But now in our gospel passage today, the apostles are back up at the Sea of Galilee. This is almost like a recasting of St. Peter's life. They're out fishing. They haven't caught anything. St. Peter hears the Lord say, "Well, throw out your nets." And they have this miraculous catch of fish. They recognize it's Jesus. Peter leaps off the boat and swims to the shore. It's almost like a baptismal scene. A plunging into the water and rising to new life. They are surrounded then together with our Lord. There's the charcoal fire, a meal, almost like the imagery of the Last Supper. But then comes the time of reconciliation. And Jesus says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" Not once, three times, to reverse the threefold denial. We have to do a little bit of academics here because we could lose a very important point. In our English translation, we have one word for love. But if we go to the original gospel text, there's two different words at work here. One word for love is agape, which is the divine, faithful, self-sacrificing love. And the other word is philia, which means that human friendship kind of love. So our Lord says to Peter, Peter, do you love me in that divine, faithful, self-sacrificing way? Peter says, Lord, you know I love you in a human friendship way. Again, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me in that divine, faithful, self-sacrificing way? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you in that human friendship way. Third time, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me in that human friendship way? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I love you in that human friendship way. And we can almost imagine Peter on the verge of tears saying, you know all things. You know that I love you. Notice how our Lord met Peter where he was at. He met Peter where he was at, but with the hope of raising Peter up. Each time, our Lord affirms that special office of authority, that position of Holy Father that he entrusted to St. Peter, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. But at the very end, our Lord says, follow me. Peter did. And that's the beauty of the story. This is about the death and resurrection of St. Peter. Peter got up and he followed. So we hear in our first passage how after Pentecost, he and the other apostles are proclaiming the message of Christ. They're brought before the Sanhedrin. That doesn't scare them. They're even beaten for preaching. That doesn't scare them. And they continue on. Peter would be that first great pope who would keep the church together during that time of persecution by both the Jews and the Romans. He would instruct the apostles to go out on the missionary journeys to both Jew and Gentile. We know that by the year 66, Peter's in Rome. He's the bishop of Rome, the pope. And then during the reign of Nero, he's arrested, condemned to death, to be crucified. St. Linus, Pope St. Linus, number two pope, says that Peter, upon hearing his death sentence, said, the Lord Jesus came into this world, and I will leave this world to meet him feet first. I do not deserve to be killed the way he was. Crucify me upside down. So Peter was crucified upside down in his humility. Pope St. Clement, Pope number four, ordained by St. Peter, also records how St. Peter wept each night when he heard the cock crow at daybreak. And these were tears of remorse for what had happened, that time of denial, but also tears of joy, knowing that he had been forgiven, that he had risen again to a new life. Pope St. Clement says that Peter wept so much there were even furrows on his cheeks. So yes, the death and resurrection of St. Peter. My brothers and sisters, isn't it wonderful that our first Holy Father is St. Peter, and we have that story? Because that's an example for all of us. After all, you and I have been entrusted with so much, beginning with our baptism. We've been given so much by our Lord. And yet at times we know we sin, we fall. Some of us here may well know what it is to fall hard, to have committed that mortal sin, a mortal sin like adultery, or a mortal sin of some criminal act. Perhaps we've even faced an addiction in our life, thinking of alcoholism, drug abuse, pornography. Maybe we've failed at school, failed at work, failed in some career, failed in marriage, and then maybe we've just failed in peer pressure, instead of standing up and living our faith, doing what is right, defending our Lord, we give in to the crowds, and we give in to the crucifying. Yes, we can all know what it's like to fall, and fall hard. The devil would like to keep us there. He'd like to keep us in that fallen place, that point of despair. That was Judas's problem. But instead, like St. Peter, there's always hope, hope of reconciliation. This is why the sacrament of penance is so important. And this is why, as a priest, I mention it so often. If you haven't been to confession during Lent, go during Easter season. Because we don't want to remain fallen over anything. Rather, our Lord waits for us. He meets us where we're at. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. When we go to confession and we pour out our heart, our Lord is asking us, "Do you love me?" And we're responding, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." When we hear the words of absolution, we're washed clean. It's like the renewal of those baptismal graces. When we leave confession, we can rise up, start again, hearing our Lord say, "Follow me." And that's what we strive to do. Never should we give up. No matter what has happened in our life, the Lord is there to help us. But we have to seek the reconciliation. There's always the hope of the death and the resurrection. I think of a person I met back in my early days of priesthood. She was a obstetrician gynecologist, we'll call her Dr. Betty, but she is giving a pro-life talk in the parish. Well, she had gone in the 1960s to college, to medical school, and lost her Catholic faith. Stopped practicing the faith, really not sure whether God even existed, and so on. Well, with the Supreme Court decision, Roe versus Wade, she opened one of the first abortion clinics in Mississippi. And she did about 50 abortions a week. She bought into all the political lies that we hear to this very day from political candidates. Oh, wonderful Planned Parenthood, wonderful pro-choice, wonderful this and that. Well, after a while, and especially with the developments in technology, sonograms and so on, she realized she was killing unborn children. And one day, when she pulled up to her clinic, she couldn't get out of the car. And she just sat there for a minute, and she pulled out, never to go back again. But what to do? She drove around for a while. She stopped. She seriously considered suicide because she wondered how could she bear the burden of having taken the lives of so many innocent children, having promoted this awful lie that the political ideologues have pushed on to us. Well, so eventually she ended up in front of a Catholic church. She went in, and she stood in front of the crucifix, just like we have here, and she was crying. Well, a priest happened to be walking by. He noticed her, and he said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "I've committed so many sins." Well, the short story is, she went to confession, and she became, to this day, one of the great pro-life advocates there are. And so, my brothers and sisters, a death and resurrection. Yes, we can't change our past. We can learn from it, though. And I do believe that our Lord will always help us use our past to help someone else from falling, from making the same mistakes. So let us rejoice. We have a great Pope, Pope St. Peter, a good example for all of us. And so, no matter who we are right now, let us make sure that at this Mass we truly say, "Lord, you know that I love you." And with that, hear his voice say, "Come, follow me." And as best we can each day to follow him. May God bless you.